What does it mean for us to respond to God? What does it look like to say yes to God? So we're going to look at the scripture of the call of Samuel this morning, who is a young man that was most definitely quick to say yes to God. And some of you, you may recall that just a few short weeks ago when our Costa Rica team returned, we heard this scripture read as well, and I think I preached the fastest sermon of my life, which some of you after today may prefer that short version. Don't let me know. But today I'm going to expand a little bit more on what we weren't able to share during that time. And I'm just excited because I love this scripture. Here we have Samuel, who just has this heart that's open to God. And he is this young man who is studying to become the priest of Israel. And we also find Eli, who is an older man, who is the current priest of Israel, has been doing this for nearly his entire life. And we get to see the call of Samuel and that relationship that Eli and Samuel have. It's a little bit of a longer scripture, so I'm going to read it for you, but the words will be on the screens behind me if you want to follow along. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went, and he lay down. But the Lord called again, "Samuel." So Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. But the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was the one calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but I think that scripture is just such a compelling story. And I hope that the songs and the prayers and even the announcements today have been kind of gearing us all up to respond really to this question: how will we react? How will we respond when God calls us? Now, whether that's to a specific job or vocation, or whether that's a call to reach out to our neighbors with God's love and care, we all are called by God. And yet this call from God is a very unique thing. I think many of us have heard stories, or maybe we've even experienced ourselves those times when God speaks directly to us. We have an experience very much similar to Samuel, where we can hear this almost audible voice of God directing us or telling us to do something. But it doesn't always happen that way, does it? I mean, I think probably more of us can relate to the ways that God or the Holy Spirit might move within us, and we hear God's voice through a feeling of peace or excitement or confirmation when we commit to a new volunteer or ministry opportunity, we commit to a new professional role, we commit to something new in our lives. But I want you to hear today that we can all rest assured that God calls every single one of us, even the people that you wouldn't imagine. God calls us to new things, to new possibilities, new ways to share God's love. And it's a good connection for us today on this Labor Day, because it's very much connected to the work that we do. Granted, we aren't all, you know, pastors, but we can still respond to God's call in whatever vocation, whatever professional work that we're doing. we also all have a responsibility to respond to God's call to God's work, which takes place in this world. So I think there's a few things that we can learn from this scripture. There's probably 1,800 things we can learn from this scripture, but I tried to whittle it down to three, and they're in your bulletin if you want to follow along. But to begin with, believe that God calls all of us. God calls young people and old people, people who are prepared for the call, people who are totally unprepared. I think God calls people who are new to the faith, people who are familiar with the faith. And God even calls people who have no faith. God is that big and that certain. So we each have this role to play in God's world, and we each have a responsibility to listen for the call of God in our lives. And I want you to hear that this church in particular is incredible at affirming that fact, that God speaks to and through every single one of us. For those of you who don't know, I had the great joy of growing up in this church ever since I was a very small child, and it was in my youth group that I experienced some of my first leadership opportunities. And I want to tell you that I felt most of the time like I had absolutely no clue what I was doing, and yet you all were so affirming. I think you took all of that love and excitement and youthful energy that I had, And you said that I could do something for God. And I thought about that because I saw in you and I heard from you that God's love had the power to change people's lives, that God's love could make the world better. And that was really, really important to me as a young person, and it's still really, really important to me now. So it's so amazing to serve here as a pastor years later and to see that Cokesbury continues this tradition of investing in your young people. I can't say enough what a critical part of God's work this is. When you smile and celebrate our children's and youth choirs when they come here and sing, when you offer your prayers and your volunteer and financial support to the pumpkin patch so our young people can travel for service experiences in Livingston and in Costa Rica, when you take time to ask them how God is doing in their lives, what God is doing in their lives, and you actually listen to our college students, when you give them permission to preach and share and serve in the service, friends, you are modeling for them and really for this entire community that you believe in a God who calls all people to God's mighty work of reconciling this world. So like that priest Eli, you are investing your very selves and your very faith in the next generation. And you know, the call and the ministry of Samuel did not look exactly like Eli's, and so likewise, it's possible and probably quite likely that our young people will experience calls that don't look exactly like mine or yours. And friends, that's something we celebrate. That's the diversity, the uniqueness of God. God has something to do through each individual. So I picture myself, you know, maybe as Samuel, as a young person, just so eager to hear from God, eager to hear from my elders who have loved me and empowered me. And I love that in this scripture, when Samuel hears the voice of God, he goes to Eli. I mean, have you thought about how remarkable and beautiful that is? He hears this call and he goes to the one who has nurtured him and encouraged him to be the young man that God is calling him to be. And it seems to take Eli just a few minutes to realize what is actually going on here, but when he does recognize that, oh my goodness, God is speaking directly to Samuel for the very first time, Eli offers Samuel the best words possible so that Samuel can be in a situation where he can hear truly what God has to say. And you know Samuel too. I don't want to totally detract from him because he was doing his fair share. My goodness, he was sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant each night in the temple. So I do think that Samuel, though he was young, he knew that it was important to position himself in a way that made him available to God. And yet he needed help discerning God's voice, didn't he? So that brings us to our second point about responding to God's call. Not only does God call all of us to God's work in the world, but God reminds us that sometimes we need help from one another in hearing and discerning God's voice. We need help hearing God's voice when God calls, because there are so many voices that are calling out to us. I've joked earlier that one of the fun voices that's calling out to us right now is the God of college football, which we've all had a really good time, you know, probably listening to and watching yesterday. But that's one of the many voices that calls out to us. We also have more serious voices. There's our own inner voice of pride or self-interest. There are the voices of those who would tell us to chase after success or wealth or power for true happiness. The voices of fear, even, that would tell us that maybe we're not capable of doing what God has called us to do, or that it's just too risky, it's just too scary to take that step out from God. Well, friends, I hope this passage reminds us that we often need others, perhaps others who are very different from us, to help us discern God's voice and call. And it's so connected with that first point that God calls all of us. I love how this passage of Scripture is just this true celebration of multiple generations of people reaching out to God and trying to respond. Samuel and Eli needed one another. Remember that Samuel did not yet recognize or know God's voice, and so he needed Eli to help him hear. And yet, in that moment, and this was a really big moment in Eli's life for sure, this was the first time that God was not speaking directly to Eli. And instead of being upset or resentful or mad about the whole situation, Eli decided to give Samuel the right response, because he knew that he needed Samuel so that God's word might be revealed to the people of Israel, to all the world. When I think about these incredible relationships, I want to ask you today, who are the Elis in your own life? Who are the people who have helped you to hear God's call? Hopefully you can see their faces in your mind. Who are the Samuels in your own life? Who are the people that you have helped to hear the call of God? Now, for some of us, we may not feel like we have an Eli or a Samuel, and that's okay. But I want to encourage us to develop those types of relationships with other people. And it's so neat that, again, we're here with Labor Day, because I think that actually in our professional lives, we have a really good example of these very healthy systems of mentors and mentees. I mean, many of us have experienced internships, or we've talked with people who have been in our professions longer than us, and they've invested in us and given us good hints at how to be whole. I think the church has something to learn here. I think we as the body of Christ have something to learn. And I want to challenge us, if we have no Eli in our lives, if you have no Samuel in your life, go out and be a mentor. Find a mentee. Let people pour into you and challenge yourselves to pour into other people. Because this scripture reminds us that we are made to be in community with one another. We need each other to hear God's call. You'll see it in your reflective reading in your bulletin. There's this quote that I love by Melissa Lauber. She says that God has gifted each of us to make the world and the church better. God wants us to be a part of the body of Christ and enrich it with our presence. That is what God calls us to do. The point is to say yes to our own call and then to sound it in the community so that others might partner with us. They will help us live out our call in practical and life-changing ways. So friends, today, what is God calling you to? If you were asked to sound your call out into the community, which is basically just a fancy way of saying, what is God calling you to, and sharing that with your friends, and your family, and neighbors, I wonder what might it be? For many of us, I think it can be difficult to discern God's call. Perhaps, unlike Samuel, we're not allowing that time to be set apart to allow God to speak into our lives. Or perhaps, unlike the relationship that Eli and Samuel shared, we're not allowing ourselves to open up and be vulnerable with others so that we can share our hearts and seek God's will together. Or perhaps we're doing both of those things, and yet we still are struggling to hear God's call, because that's a reality too. Well, I want us to be encouraged this day, friends, because I think that the third takeaway that we have from this scripture is that God loves to do a new thing. Just as God called Eli to a specific task and God called Samuel to a particular task, so God calls each one of us over and over again and again and again throughout our lifetimes. And we can rejoice in that because there are these abundant opportunities to respond to God's grace and to God's love and to God's direction. If you're having some difficulty hearing that call or discerning that call, I so hope that those words of Frederick Buechner, which are also in your bulletin, I hope that they're helpful to you. They've been helpful to me throughout my lifetime. He says, the kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need most to do, and B, that the world most needs to have done. And I love this. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So for my friend Lucy in Bethlehem, she has this passion for empowering women and for sharing these ideals of democracy and human rights. And you know, she lives in a place that is just desperate for human rights. There's a deep hunger and need for women to be empowered. Or there's my really good friend Kara that many of you know. She's an OB in Birmingham, and she just has this passion for helping mothers through pregnancy and making sure that babies and mommies are healthy and whole. And then finally, I think about my friend Jim. He really came to mind in this sermon. I met Jim in grad school, and Jim loved Jesus, and he loved geology, like as in rocks. Jim was very passionate about geology and the earth, and he always seemed to carry around this burden and this guilt that he didn't want to become a pastor or a missionary or a nonprofit worker, and we would always just reassure him because the thing is, this world does in fact need geologists, and in particular, we need people with passion and love for what they do. That is a gift to God's world. So never doubt that God calls each of us through our particular vocations, but also to do God's important work in this world. We're not all going to move to Africa and build water wells, which is an incredible thing that God calls us to do that. God is for certain, though, calling us to take small, potentially life-changing steps, like saying yes to an opportunity to serve in our community, to mentor a young person, to lead a Bible study, to encourage that person in our office, on the street, in our math class, who just seems lonely and discouraged. Never doubt that saying yes to God in the quote-unquote small things of life has the power to change someone's life, especially your own. So the question before us today is, how will we respond when God calls again and again and again throughout our lifetime? We don't just say, like we did in the song, here I am, Lord. We say, here we are, Lord. Because we are in this relationship with God where he has shown us the things that break God's heart for this world. We see the violence and the poverty, racism, the injustice around us. And the thing is, God could probably take care of all of that. But God doesn't work alone. God invites us, even us, to be a part of the redemption and restoration of all that is broken. The power that God gives us is far beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And that's what saying yes to God is all about. It's about opening ourselves up. It's about saying yes and trusting that God can take us and do things far greater than we could ever know. Today, we get to come together around this communion table of grace, and we get to share a meal, and we get to see again and rehearse again with one another what it means to come into contact with the God who calls us in the middle of the night sometimes, and we get the opportunity to say yes. We don't go alone, friends. The miracle of God is that we do all of this together. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want to encourage you as you come forward for communion today to be thinking about all that God is calling you to. And I want to encourage you to say yes. Here we are, Lord. Guide us, send us, direct us. We trust you, and we are yours. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's pray. Lord God, we are indeed just your grateful servants today. We are grateful for the opportunity to come into your house. We are grateful for the opportunity to come to your table. God, many of us had to say yes this morning when you called, and it was early and raining, and maybe we didn't want to get up. But God, you were calling out, and you gave us the courage to come. So as we have come, Lord, we trust that you will continue to speak to our hearts, that you will continue to guide us, so that we can continue to be your grateful people. Amen.